Well, we are the end of chapter one. I'm not very sure we can finish the whole book of Malachi. But if we can't finish it, we'll continue next week. Right. You all have the outline, right? Okay. I think we didn't print it out this time. Yeah. Okay. But you all have it in your. Yeah, where were we? We were at a point where the Lord was rebuking the priesthood. I just want to repeat to everybody that at the end of this book in the Old Testament scriptures, God is specially speaking to the priesthood. That shows how important the priesthood is. This is God's plan, okay? We're going to go into this pretty soon in the beginning of chapter two. But you can see at the end, the priesthood became fallen, corrupted. And God was really, well, in a sense, angry, I must say. Don't think that our God is just a God of love and that there is no judgment. No, God is a righteous God. I always remind the saints that there are three words describing our God. Number one, he is righteous. And it's very clearly written, he hates lawlessness. Especially his priests. The priesthood cannot be lawless, but must be righteous and holy. This is why Peter says that he desires to have a holy and royal priesthood. Right. Holiness is very important for God because God is holy. He's not only righteous, he is holy. And in chapter one of Peter, remember in chapter two, he's talking about the holy priesthood. So in chapter one, Peter told the people there, he wrote in 1 Peter chapter one, be holy. For I am holy. God is holy. And right in the very beginning, in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, when he brought his people out of Egypt, he told his people that he wants to have a holy nation, right? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Because all the other nations are unholy. Yeah. Well, you don't have to go very far to look. Right here in our neighborhood, in the place called LA. It's not holy, it is Hollywood. I would call it Unholywood. There's nothing holy there. This is the world today. So we should be the exact opposite. Especially in the matter of the priesthood, holiness is very, very important. If I can bring you back. We're in Malachi right now. Let's go to the book before that. Somebody can read that. Just a page before. It's Zechariah. At the very end of Zechariah, Jerusalem and Judah. Would you please read it to us, Brother Sam? Yeah.
Verse 20.
Verse 20. At that time, right? In that day. Yes.
Shall be engraved on the bells of the horses.
Yes.
The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls for the altar.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And it's holiness to the Lord. Judas, not Judas, Judah and Jerusalem shall be holiness unto the Lord. Right. Is that a verse before or is that a verse? Right. Sorry,
the verse after.
The verse after.
Yes, every pot in Jerusalem
shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Unfortunately, it is at that day. What about today? Don't wait until that day, okay? Because you might not be there. But what about now? What about today? The priesthood today should be holiness unto the Lord. Right. Like I mentioned last night, in all kinds of services to God, you may not have to be holy. So many preachers and pastors, right, are not very holy. And, well, we all experience that. I don't have to talk about it, because at the very end, it was so unholy. It was so unholy. And anyone who wanted to practice holiness were kicked out. Well, you think that was well-pleasing to God? No, it definitely was not. Right. But today, especially, the Lord's burden is for us to practice the priesthood. All kinds of services, okay, you don't have to practice holiness, okay? That doesn't mean that we don't have to be holy. No, we have to, because the church life, the church of God must be holy. He wants to have a glorious church. It says, holy and without blemish. This is the kind of church the Lord wants. I've been telling many of our dear brothers and sisters in the past 10 years already, our vision is not only Christ and the church, but Christ and a glorious church. And how can you be a glorious church without being holy and they're full of blemishes? It is impossible. So the vision clearly today is Christ and his glorious church. Not just the church, right? There are so many different kinds of churches. You can go anywhere you like. You can even have your choice, right? So now, concerning the matter of the priesthood, maybe I can read to you, right, in chapter 1. In chapter 1. Yeah. Lord Jesus. The Lord told the priesthood, you have despised my name. In verse 6, to you, the priests, who despise my name, and yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? They're not even conscious of it. What? Lord, you say we are despising your name. Every Sunday when we come together, we seem to be honoring your name. But only on Sundays. And I doubt even on Sundays. And because, hey, you're just doing it in a routine way. Oh, it's Sunday. I have to go to church. Well, what about Monday through Saturday? What about after Sunday morning meeting? What do you do after Sunday morning meeting? You go to theaters. You've got to do so many other things that are not well-pleasing to God. And I don't know what we are all watching. What activities we're doing. So, hey, you think you can fool God in this way? This is what the Lord Jesus said to the people. This people, he says, they worship me, praise me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. You think the Lord didn't know? You think you can fool him? No, you cannot. And yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And then in verse 7, He told the priest, you offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? And the Lord had to tell them. By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They even in their heart despise. Oh, meeting 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, you keep on looking at your watch. Right. Many people do that. 2 hours meeting, my goodness. 2 hours, that's so long. What is that? That is despising the Lord's table. At the end, you don't even know what you're eating there, what you are partaking. Read again 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord was really angry. He was angry with a church in Corinth, because when they came to the Lord's table, they didn't even realize what they are eating. They mixed up with the love feast and the Lord's table. So the Lord says, you are eating and drinking to your own judgment. It's judgment. And the Lord judges them. Many of them were sickly. And even some died. You read chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. No, it would have been better, the Lord says, if someone would close the door so that you don't have any more Lord's table. It is better not to have it than to have it the way they had it. We need to know that we are dealing with a living God. He's a great God. And then in verse 8, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? You know, if you read Leviticus, you read Exodus and Deuteronomy, you can really see God demands that any sacrifice that you brought to God must be perfect. Don't bring a lamb without one ear missing, and one of the foot is also missing, and a sick lamb that you yourself will not eat and will not keep, you bring it to the Lord. Don't do that. No, no, no. Don't do that. The Lord said here, and when you offer the blind, even just one eye, that is defective. Is it not evil? Is it not evil? In the eyes of God, it is evil. You know why? Because this animal sacrifice, dear saints, represent Christ. And Christ is perfect. He is the Lamb without blemish. In him there is no sin. He is perfect. Our Lord is perfect. Yeah. So how can you offer something that is not perfect to God? God will never accept it. He is God. And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Yeah. The Lord is speaking in our language. He's really speaking in our language. I think everybody who reads it can understand. Right. Would he accept you favorably? Right. Says the Lord of hosts. And then you entreat God's favor. You want God to be favorable to you, that he may be gracious to you. And no wonder. Many times we ask God to do something and God just says no to you. How can God be gracious to us while this is being done by your hands? Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? What does the Lord say? The Lord did say when he was on this earth that he knows the Father listens to him, answered his prayers. Why? Because he always does and did the things that are well-pleasing to the Father. Suppose you always do things that are not well-pleasing to him, and then all of a sudden you need him, right? Lord, help me and do this for me. The Lord will say, what did you say again? How come I told you so many times and so many things and you didn't even listen to me? Now you need something, you come to me. So will he be gracious to you? Will he be favorable to you? Will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And verse 10, we talked about it last night. God says, who is there even among you who would shut the door? The Lord would prefer the door of the meeting hall of his temple at that time would be shut. So that you would not kindle a fire on my altar in vain, because everything that you're doing before God will be in vain, because God will not accept it. So if you, let's say, got engaged to somebody, don't give her a Russian diamond. A piece of crystal, a fake. If you do, the engagement will be canceled. No, God, you have to give God what is due to him. Don't just bring anything at the last moment. So, I have no pleasure in you, the Lord said. I have no pleasure in you. But you know, God has only pleasure in his beloved Son. If you bring anything else to him, he won't be happy. Remember, several times he actually said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, as an offering to God our Father, if you bring anything else to him, he will not be happy. He would have no pleasure in it. No pleasure. You have to know what he wants. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands. That is in verse 10 at the very end. In verse 10, what can I say, right? We've been practicing and learning to practice the priesthood for almost 4 years now, since 2014. Wow. It's almost 5 years now. Over 5 years. You think it is easy? And I'm always holding back and not to say words that are too strong, because you might give up. But now is the time for us to really know what God demands of us. God says here very clearly, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. So don't just bring anything. Be prepared. This is why in the very beginning we wrote that song, may the Spirit teach us daily these offerings to what? To prepare. You need to prepare. You do need preparation. Right? Even to your dog. Sorry, I'm using your dog as an example again. You have a nice dog here. You think Mercedes will just eat anything if you throw him some kind of a paper dip in soy sauce and throw it into him and let him eat it? You think your dog is going to eat that? Well, he smells your wonderful food. He can smell. He knows. Even Mercedes knows. And we are bringing an offering to God. You think he doesn't know what you're bringing? Yeah. Now verse 11 says, "For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, the nations. In every place, incense must be offered to my name and a pure offering." Of course, this is prophetic word of God that in the time of the millennial kingdom, all the nations will have to bring such a pure offering to the Father. To Jerusalem, they have to come. But today, we as the priesthood of the Lord, in his house, in his temple, in the church, we should be the first one to bring such a pure offering to God our Father. This is a privilege. This is a gift given to God, by God, I mean, to the priesthood. This is our privilege to gain Christ. I don't think, oh, I have to do it again. Oh, it's so wearisome, so burdensome. Oh, it's the Lord's Day meeting. I have to bring something. If that is your attitude, don't bring anything. Just come. You don't have to. God will not push you, right? God is not going to force anybody, no. We bring an offering because we love the Father. We love our Heavenly Father. He has done so much for us. Right? He saved us. He regenerated us. He gave us His Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And we were Jacob. We were not good to start with. But the Lord is working on us to transform us into Israel. If we look at our past, right? We look at so many of God's people. Well, we were born in sin. Many times I ask, well, who am I that you should save me? You chose me. You died for me. Are you that precious? Yes, in the eyes of God. You are very precious. Right. This is why he says, "Jacob, I have loved." Jacob would say, "Well, you really love me. I'm a supplanter. I was so subtle. I thought I was so smart." Anyway. Yep. So you have to realize, even God says, "My name shall be great among the nations," says the Lord, "but you profane it," in verse 12. Yeah. How can the world believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if we as Christians live like them? We're in no difference. They do this and we also do the same. They love to do that, and we also love to do that. They are worldly, and we're also worldly. So, how can they, why should they believe in the Lord? The church must be a golden lampstand shining in darkness, right? But if we are not shining, we're just a believer, I'm saved, and I don't care if others are not saved. And if we are the same as they, then why should they believe in your God? If there's no difference, you profane my name in verse 12. That's a serious word. This word of God is very serious. Okay. But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruits, its food is contemptible. Now let me ask you, who brought those food as offerings? God? Did God put a defiled food on his table for you? Well, who brought them? The one who brought the defiled food are the one who says your table is contemptible. Are we reasonable? You tell me, you tell yourself, ask yourself, is that reasonable? Right. Well, that's how we are. That was how the priests were. They were fallen. They became fallen. The table is contemptible, the food defiled is because they brought the food there. Then in verse 13, you also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it. Just like Mercedes. They sneered at it. May I ask you, is it burdensome to bring an offering and to keep the feast of the Lord? Is it burdensome to you? Oh, I need to prepare. You go to work prepared every day, I hope so. If you think it's wearisome, you're going to lose your job. Tell your boss, it's so troublesome. Your boss will say, what did you say? In your office, if those employees come and say, oh, it's so troublesome to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm tired of it. What are you going to say? You can go home. You can go home. You're done. You're done. Now, let me ask all of ourselves, including me, okay? Are you tired of preparing an offering for God? Is it worrisome? Is it burdensome? Oh, I need to come and keep the feast again. Oh, yeah, I need to prepare some verses or I need to get into the word. Oh, it's so wearisome. I'll let the leading brothers do it. The leading brothers, my goodness, who are they? Each one of you is a leading brother. The responsible ones. Oh, you are the one responsible. Who's going to bring food? Yeah. Oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen. Sometimes you stole. You bring the stolen offering. Can you imagine? Oh, goodness. Right? You can't imagine what they have done. And the lame and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? In verse 13. So I think at this time, I believe all of you can take this word, right? I hope so. You won't be offended. Oh, I don't see them in the picture here anymore. Oh, no, they're there. Okay. Can you take this word? This is my question, and not my question. This is his question to you. Can you take it? Are you ready to take this word? Yeah. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Then it's even worse in verse 14. But curse be to the deceiver. You even want to cheat him. Who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemish? For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Well, the godly fear the fear of the Lord. I don't want to scare you. But you remember in the book of Acts, right in the very beginning, when many of the saints were sold everything and brought everything to the church before the apostles in those days. And there was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And they had some properties and they sold the properties. And they kept the part for themselves. And when it was brought before Peter, and he said to Peter, that's all that we had. We sold all, and here it is. They thought they are cheating Peter. But they are cheating the Holy Spirit. Peter told Ananias, why is it that you lied to the Holy Spirit? He didn't say, what did you lie to me? Lying to Peter, that's not a problem. Okay, you can lie to Peter. They call him Saint Peter, but no, he's not the same. He's just Peter. Okay. He says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Huh? The property is yours. You can give whatever you like and keep whatever you like. You don't have to give God everything. No. Right. But why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? It's foolish. It's really foolish because God knows everything. You cannot hide anything from God. You know what happened? He fell dead. And then later on, his wife came in and did the same thing. Both of them had to be carried out. It is not that, oh, you did not give everything. No, you don't have. You give whatever you want to give to the Lord, really. But don't lie to him. You cannot cheat God. You're a deceiver to God. No, don't do that. Not to him. Not to him. We have to honor him. He's God. He's the Almighty God. He created everything. Everything belongs to him. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. He is the God who knew the future from the past, and everything else he knows. He's the God who searches the heart. Yeah. So the end of chapter 1 is about curse be to the deceiver, because you're deceiving God, okay? You're deceiving God. Don't do that. Right. Says the Lord of hosts, for I am a great king. He is a great king. Give him the honor. His God, my goodness, his God. And my name is to be feared among the nations. And if his name is to be feared among the nations, what about his name is to be feared among us? You who know the Lord. You know, for the nations right now, they don't fear God. In a way, I don't blame them, in a way, yeah, in a way, because they don't know God. They don't even believe in the existence of God. But you know God. You know him. This is why, right in the very beginning, God says, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And now we go to chapter 2. Praise God. We're in chapter 2. Maybe we still have a chance to finish it. And now, oh my people, did he say that? What? Oh, and now all believers. Oh Christians. Oh brothers and sisters. Oh my sons, my children, did he say that? And now, oh priests. Ah, to be a priest is really something wonderful, really. Yeah. Don't say, oh, okay, I'm afraid. No, I'm not going to be a priest. No, you are a priest. This is a wonderful gift of God, okay? No, don't give up. And now, oh priests, this commandment is for you. It's for you. This commandment is for the priests. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, and how to give glory to his name, it is very clearly stated in chapter 1. Doing all those things is not to give glory to his name, it's to bring shame to his name, especially among the Gentiles. People are, you know, why so many people in the world are laughing at the Christians? Because we're not acting as people who should be like God. No, we're not acting like, we are not expressing the glory of God. Can you imagine if all of God's people are expressing God's glory? The whole world will be saved today. Yeah. But we are even ashamed of calling ourselves a Christian. Shame on us. Yeah. If you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And I will turn your blessings into curse. How about that? Yeah. Because, and he even says, yes, I have cursed them already. All your blessings will turn into curse. Yeah, that's not good. You think God will not do that? Oh, yeah, he is God. Yeah, just like what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 23 to the Pharisees, woe to you. Not blessed are thou, but woe to you. Now, would you prefer blessings or woe? Of course, we all like the blessing. So behave yourself as a priest. Amen. Right. To give glory to his name. Amen. This is actually very reasonable, right? I will send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already. Believe me, brothers and sisters and dear priests. I should call you all dear priests. I have seen that. I have seen blessings turning into curse. In the first few years, it was wonderful. And when things became fallen, my goodness, everything turned into a curse. I hate to say this, but I've seen it. You left the blessings, you did things that are offensive to the Lord. Don't expect the Lord to continue his blessing. All the blessings you had in the past will turn into curse. all the things that are living and full of life and full of truth in the past and nowadays, after we left the Lord and we didn't care for what he's doing and are not following the Lamb, at the very end, you can see it will turn into curse. Don't think I'm joking. No, I've seen that. It doesn't mean that you're going to fall dead, okay? That doesn't mean that. But your spiritual condition will go downhill. You will be spiritually dead, just like Sardis. The church in Sardis, the Lord says, you have a name that you're alive, living, but you're dead. You're spiritually dead. Hardly any more experience. You can see it. People who are alive and who know the truth, they can see it. Right? The little army marching out. It's wonderful to see the little army. Yeah, praise the Lord. May the Lord bless our children. Yeah. Amen. The future, yeah. Oh, Lord, bless the children. Yeah, but a priest should not be children. A priest should be mature in life, transformed into his glorious image. Right, you're going to see this, okay? Because the Lord is talking about it, right? And look what the Lord says. This is, sometimes I thought the Lord is just very human in a sense, because he spoke in a way that you can understand. Behold, he says, I will rebuke your descendants. Well, the word descendants here, the Hebrew word is seeds. This is why here I write down in the outline Roman numeral 4b. 2, God will rebuke the seed. Literally, it is called the seed. That means that, hey, the seed will not grow. What will happen if the seed don't grow? Will you still have nice fruits to eat? Juicy prunes and juicy plums, I mean. Right? Juicy mangoes, wonderful fruits. Right. Honey melon, wow, sweet melon, right? Also wonderful. So much to enjoy. The Lord will rebuke the seed and the seed will not grow. What's going to happen? What about a wheat field? What about a corn field? What about a barley field? You'll be laboring so hard, but nothing will grow. This is one thing, the seed. Then the translation here in King James says, I will rebuke your descendants. Well, meaning to say, your descendants will not have the blessing because hey, the younger generation always look upon the older generation. Yeah, you want your generation, the next generation, to get the blessings, don't you? Even the blessings up to the third and the fourth generation. How about that? Right. So, okay, you can say, I will rebuke your descendants because, hey, a seed also means descendants. But then here, it also means I will take away from you the shoulder, because the shoulder and the breast part of the offering belongs to the priest. This is the best part of the offerings. The shoulder is the strength. The breast is the love. The love and the strength, the spiritual love and strength of the Lord will be the part of the priest, will be the portion of the priest. Yeah. Don't you love that? That will be the best part. But then you're going to lose your best part. You know, I always joke with my children, you know, when we're eating, when I'm grandchildren, I mean, the best part of the Baozi, right? How do you say Baozi in China, in English? Barbecue bun, right? I eat the barbecue bun, and that piece of paper, I told them, I'll give you the best part. So now they're joking back to me. Now they eat the bun and give me the best part, which is the paper. Well, if the Lord takes away the best part, what would you have? What would you have? And not only that, you know, in the feast, the offerings were brought there to the feast, and they slaughter the animals, right? The goat, the sheep, and all kinds of offerings brought there. And there's a lot of refuse, dung, dirt, right there, next to the altar there. They had a place there. What did the Lord say? Behold, I will spread the refuse on your face. The Lord is going to throw the refuse in their face. You think the Lord will not do that? Would you do that? I don't think we dare to do that, right? Right. To throw the refuse in somebody's face. If I invite you for dinner in my home and I throw all the refuse on your face, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? And not only that, and I will take you away with it. I'm going to throw you away with all the refuse together in the dung yard, in the dunghill, the place where all the refuse will be thrown away. You think the Lord will not do that? When he comes back and we are not part of the first fruits, where is the Lord going to put you? I'm not going to tell you, okay? Yeah. But the Lord will put you somewhere where the dung is being thrown away. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Lord says. That's why we need to have a godly fear in our heart. Don't just express any kind of opinion and do anything that you like. And no, before God, no, you shouldn't. We have to respect this wonderful God, this great God. Right? Then the result will be what? Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you. This commandment with Levi. Yeah? This commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue. Yeah. God is concerned about his covenant with Levi. The Levi is the priestly tribe. Otherwise, the whole priesthood will be gone, disappeared, thrown into the place where the dung is, the dunghill. Yeah. Right. This is serious. This word shows us how serious, how important, how holy the priesthood is to God. And if through reading of this word, we still do not realize it, then I cannot help you. And God cannot help us. I think the word that God has spoken here is strong enough for us to take it seriously. Or unless you think God is joking with you. He's not joking. And I know people who look down at a priest, what are you doing here? No, we don't need that. Okay, no, we don't force anybody to do it. I told the saints many times, no, please do not force people to practice the priesthood. Right? And do not be against those who do not bring the offerings. No, because we are bringing the offering to God. It is everyone's desire and everybody's decision to bring an offering to God. Hey. Right? Don't be against that. And we are not a church dividing those who give offering and those who do not give offering. Please don't do that. Those who are vaccinated and those who are unvaccinated. No, we don't have that kind of a division, okay? Absolutely not. No. Everyone give and brings to the Lord according to his heart's desire. Don't make a difference. Oh, why did you not bring an offering? No, no, please do not do that. Because a person brings offering to God, not to you. If the offering is to you, you might say, okay, why didn't you bring an offering to me? You have the right to do that. But they are bringing an offering to God. Our God has such a big heart. Right? Not everyone. But a priest, if you are practicing the priesthood, then you bring it to God according to what you desire. It's a voluntary act for our God. But the wonderful thing is I made a covenant with him. God is not going to change his covenant. A contract is a contract. You may break it, but God's not going to break it. God is a God who keeps his covenant. My goodness, if God doesn't keep his covenant, especially the new covenant, and you offended him, and he says, I'm going to take the contract back. That is not good. No, 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 no. Right? God will never take back his covenant with us. This is wonderful. This is how great God is. Right. My covenant with him is one of life and peace. So you have to realize that this covenant with Levite isn't, oh, you have to do this. Okay, you have to do that. And you have to bring me this. And you have to do whatever I tell you to do. No, it is a covenant of life and peace. What is life? If I look at Rebecca there, I cannot compare Rebecca to me. Rebecca, you are almost, 9 years old? And I'm almost 90 years old. No, no, I'm not quite that far, okay? But there's a big difference because it's a matter of life. I cannot demand from Rebecca what God demands from me. It's a matter of life. If I demand from Rebecca what my standard is, there will be no peace between Rebecca and me for sure. There will be no peace. In the church life, it is a matter of life and peace. I don't know if you understand this or not, but in the many years in the church life, I begin to understand what is life. I cannot demand from others because he didn't have that life, the growth yet in that part. Right? I cannot demand that because it's a matter of life. And it's a matter of peace. If there's no peace, my goodness, we can forget about everything. It's life and peace. This is so wonderful. Whatever we do in a priesthood, especially in the church life, remember this two important point in a covenant, which is life and peace, especially the tribe of Levi. If we belong to the tribe of Levi, we are a priestly tribe. Take care of life, and take care of peace. We don't have this too. You can forget about a priesthood. Then it won't work. Ah, this matter of life and peace. And I gave them, life and peace, to him, to the tribe of Levi, that he might fear me. So he did. He feared me and was reverent before my name. But it was reverent. Was. It is not good. It's better is. But he was. That means sorry. He left that covenant. He changed. Not to the better, but to the worse. He changed. If you want to change, change to the better. Don't change to the worse. We have to be transformed into his image from glory to glory. You must change to the better. If you want to change job, change to a better job, right? Everybody desires that. If you're going to change job, you change to a better job. Don't change to become a garbage collector. That is not very good, right? You want to move up. And we want to go from glory to glory. Right? From good to better. From better to the best. Yeah. And he was reverent before me. Now, let us take a look, right, concerning the covenant with Levi. The covenant with Levi. Yeah. Before we do that, this covenant with Levi is a very special covenant, not the covenant of Moses with the whole people. Right? There's a general covenant that God had, the old covenant God made with his people in general. But here is a covenant that God made with the tribe of Levi because they stood on God's side. Don't just be among God's people in a general way. Well, what they do, you also do. They worship the golden calf, you also worship the golden calf. They do this, you also do that, and you just follow the crowd. No. Levi is a tribe that stood on God's side. When all of God's people, you know, when Moses was in the Mount of Horeb, right, in Sinai there, they couldn't even wait for 40 days. They already started to worship the golden calf. In fact, they even brought the idols, their favorite idols, with them from Egypt. You think God didn't know? God knew. God told them, in the 40 years in the wilderness, are you worshiping me? No. You bring me offerings? No, you are carrying your idol secretly with you around. You carried Molech with you, Baal with you. You think I didn't know? God told them. Right? But God tolerated, hoping that they would change. But they didn't. And they won't change. So God made a special covenant with Levi. You know, God's intention is to make the whole nation a kingdom of priests. That would be wonderful. But now, out of the 12 tribes, it was reduced to one tribe. Who would you prefer? Which tribe would you prefer to be? Among the 11, or would you prefer to stand on Moses' side, on God's side, and be separated from whatever was happening? And God made a special covenant with Levi. Isn't that wonderful? It is really wonderful. But it's one out of 12. That's not very many. The majority, they don't want it. Do you want it? Or do you want just to do and serve God in a general way? You have a choice. We always have a choice. Yeah. Except you have to know what the choices are, or what the choices are. If you don't know what the choices are, then you have no choice. But you should know God gave them a choice, right? And if you read for yourself, Roman numeral 6, I'm not going to read it to you, but to go to Leviticus chapter 21, when you go home, you read it yourself. You can see the requirement for the priesthood is a very special, wonderful, holy requirement. Many times there, right? Do this and do that and do this, for I am holy. You shall also be holy, because I am holy. God is a holy God, and a priesthood must be holy. You have to pursue holiness, like Hebrews chapter 12 says, pursue holiness. Are you a person pursuing holiness? How? What if you realize that certain part of your life, in your daily living, in your habit, is not holy? What do you do? Oh, Lord, make me holy. But you're not doing anything to be holy. You're not cooperating to be holy. You do not condemn anything in your life that is unholy. Right? And then you're just sitting there and say, Lord God, make me holy. The Lord says, well, what about your cooperation? You have to pursue holiness, without which no one can see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. No wonder nobody can see God, because we are impure. Because once you see God, you won't survive. Okay. Yeah. Right. Just like the sun, you cannot look directly into the sun. If you do, you become blind. Right? How long do you have to glare at the sun before you become blind? Not too long. You cannot see God and be even more clear in your sight. No. Don't try it. Okay? Don't ever try it. It is not good. Right? I remember when I was very young, a young boy, and we wanted to watch the solar eclipse. We have to use this black film from the camera film to watch the solar eclipse. Right. Yeah, holiness is very, very important. That's why God dwells in the Holy of Holies, and the priesthood. There's a high requirement of holiness. If you do not pursue holiness and you don't want to pursue holiness, well, what can I say? Right. What can I say? I can only tell you holiness is a very strong requirement for the priesthood. That's all I can say to you. Now, let us take a look at the covenant in our Roman numeral 5. God's plan with his people from the very beginning is to have a kingdom of priests. You can read all these verses, and even especially at the very end in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it is clearly written there, and he saved us, he loosed us, released us from the bondage of sin. He not only saved us from sin, cleanses us from sin, but he set us free. He loosed us. He broke the chain. Save us from our sins. Is there a period there? No. What is the goal? Is to make us kings and priests unto God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. That's the goal. And that goal of God, his plan never changed from the very beginning. When he saved his people out of Egypt, his purpose was to make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation and a treasure for himself. What is a treasure? Just some stones from the road? Or some seashells? I don't know. The kids, wow, when we were on the beach with the children, oh, they really found a treasure, which is a little seashells on the seashore. She collects seashells on the seashore. And that was a treasure. No, that is not God's treasure. God's treasure is gold, pure gold. You take a look at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the heavenly new Jerusalem. The whole city is a city of gold. And the gates, pearl. The Lord is seeking for the pearl of great price. And precious stones of all kinds. The walls, the foundation are built of precious stones. And that's why the Lord has to transform each one of us into a precious stone. Wonderful. These are his treasure. Praise God. Right? What treasure do you have? Doctrines, books, books and books and many books. I'm looking for ways to burn the books because, you know, I've got too many books. Now these books are just for decoration. Otherwise, the bookshelves are empty. Right? So it's just for show. For a Zoom background. For a Zoom background, you're right. But hey, God desires to have such a treasure to build up that heavenly Jerusalem, a kingdom of priests. And in eternity, in Revelation chapter 22, we will serve him as priests. And we will see his face, praise the Lord. Then at that time, you can see him face to face. Right? No, but unfortunately, I already said what happened, right? And then it is a covenant of life and peace. Praise the Lord. It's a covenant of life and peace. And unfortunately, instead of the whole 12 tribes, now in point one, it is to the tribe of Levi. And then the priestly, actual priestly service is to Aaron and his sons. We have an Aaron there. It's a good name. Yeah. Aaron and his sons. And then there is a special occasion there to Phinehas. I don't know if you remember this name or know this name. I don't know if it's familiar to you. You read it yourself. Right. In the situation of the time of Balaam, Balaam gave a terrible advice to Balak, to the Moabites, to send their women to mingle and mix with God's people. And Balaam knew that if that happens, God is going to judge his people. And the judgment was great. And there was a certain man who begged to keep his wife. I believe it was a Moabite. And nobody dares to separate them. And Phinehas took a spear. And you might think, oh, it is so horrible, right? Well, indeed, it was horrible. But the act shows that Phinehas was 100% for God's plan and pierced through. And what was the result? Because of that, God's judgment ceased and stopped then. Otherwise, God's wrath will continue. And Phinehas did it not just for God, but for God's judgment to cease, because they know the whole tribes, they have sinned against God. Can you imagine if that continued to happen, then God's plan for a holy nation is gone. You have to know, you have to understand God's plan. Otherwise, you might think, oh, it is so merciless. No, it's not a matter of being merciless or not. What are you going to do if you release all the terrible criminals in this country? What do you think is a good idea, what Biden is doing? Release all the terrible criminals back into this country? Is that mercy? Oh, mercy, we say, no, that's definitely not mercy, right? Yeah, we have a sister sitting right behind there. Her name is Mercy. No, it has nothing to do with mercy, but that spear there, that was mercy to stop God's judgment. And what was his reward? You read it. It's a perpetual priesthood to him and his generation to come. Oh, Lord God, there are so many things that we can really learn from the Holy Scriptures to prove to us how important a priesthood is. Right. So please read. Now, let us just go into this special priesthood who are the messengers of the Lord. The priests are the real messengers of the Lord of hosts. Right. The doctrines and the wonderful teachings and explanations was in his mouth. Is that what it says? Entertainment in the Bible, in the Word of God, was in his mouth. No, what is it? The law of truth. Speak the truth. Even if people don't like to hear it, you speak it. What can you say? Today, who is speaking the truth? CNN? CNN? I heard somebody says it's Clinton Network, Clinton News Network. It is China News Network. CCP Network, all the MSNBC, NBC, ABC, none of them are speaking the truth. Nobody's speaking the truth. And today, if you speak the truth, you'll be censored. You put on a Trump hat, they're going to beat you up. This is the age. So nobody dares to speak the truth. We are living in a very special time. But are you courageous, full of courage to speak the truth? Or are you a coward? Well, we don't speak the truth to fight again with people. No, we speak the truth in love. To save people. No. We're not there arguing with people, no. But the truth of God's word, the living God, he is the truth. Apart from him, there is no truth. The truth is not Trump. The truth is not so and so and this and that. No. God is the truth. The Lord says, I am the truth. I am the truth. The way and the life is the truth. So the truth, the law of the truth was in his mouth. Purify our lips. Don't speak just because you think it is right. No, you speak because it's Christ and the truth. And do not speak to stir up unrest. No, no need. You speak the truth in love that will result in peace. Unfortunately, many times when we speak the truth, it results in argument. And no peace, and then fighting, and all that. No. Then it's better not to say anything. So we have to purify our lips, just like Isaiah chapter 6. Right? Because we are unclean, people of an unclean lips. Yeah. Injustice was not found on his lips. Don't just speak anything. Speak what is right. You know, justice and peace are a pair together. Justice and righteousness, truth and grace, light and love, according to the Bible, all of these comes in pair. Sometimes we have the light, but no love. So what is the result? Not very good. Love and no light, and what will be the result? It's corruption. Right? No righteousness, no peace. No grace if there is no truth. That is why when the Lord appeared in John chapter 1, he says he's full of grace and truth. Grace without truth, it's not a very good mixture. No mixture. Right? Then truth without grace, your bread will be like a piece of rock. So, right, we do need all these. Right? Truth and justice. Praise the Lord. Our speaking is very important. I know in our experience, many times speaking the truth, if we just speak the hard truth with a hammer, we break a lot of things. We break the wall instead of hanging the thing. At the end, you put the nail in the wall, the whole wall fell apart. That is not good. And he walked with God in peace and uprightness. We just read that. The walk, our daily walk is important in our family, right? With our children, right? Husband and wife, and among the brothers and sisters. Walk with God in peace and righteousness. Don't walk alone. Right? Just like Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Because if you walk by yourself, many times you may be right, but you're dead right. Then there will be no peace and no uprightness. And to turn many away from iniquity. It's amazing. Turn many away from iniquity. And then the lips of the priest should keep knowledge. Praise the Lord. Should keep knowledge. You have to know the word. Don't just say anything, but you also have to hear and listen to what the anointing is speaking. And people should seek the law from your mouth. That is why our speaking is very important. Don't speak nonsense. Don't just speak loosely, especially the priests. Right. Well, we stop here. How about that? Time is up. Any questions you'd like to ask? No? Clear? When you go home, review the outline. It's written there. And even without the outline, just read, because it's written there. In chapter 2 of Malachi, my covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And I gave them to him because he feared me. Right? Be those who fear the Lord. The law of truth was in his mouth. Injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge so that people will seek the truth and the law from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Okay. Amen. Let's have some prayers. Yep. Amen.